The offering that Pastor Bronk just ministered over, and the way that he did that is the way that we conduct our offerings in our church services. It's the way that we conduct the offerings during our conferences. We show from Scripture that God is not going to do bad things to people if they don't give. We explain from Scripture that you cannot give enough in offerings to get your family saved. We show you from the Word of God that you cannot receive healing by giving offerings. There are a lot of people, when they hear these things, they begin to wonder, I don't know if I believe that. It's because for so many years they've been told if they don't give money, they can't get anything from God. But my healing is not based on my offerings. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. There is so much that is being taught wrong concerning offerings in the church. And this is why we have offerings like what Pastor Bronk did today. We want people to understand that God loves them so much that His promises to us are based upon the completed work of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8:32, here is what God is telling us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is what God teaches us. And if this is what God teaches us, then this is what the Holy Spirit will teach us. In other words, if a preacher has been telling me, if you don't give your money, God is going to curse you. The Holy Spirit is going to say, that's not true. You've been delivered from the curse by Jesus Christ. And God is not after your money. He's after your heart. And it's out of a heart of love for Him that you will give as He leads you. Not as man threatens you. And see, the more that we pray in tongues, this is the kind of truth the Holy Spirit leads us into. The Holy Spirit is going to let you know that God is not mad at you if you don't give.
kukosa kutoa.
Because some people simply cannot give.
Kwa sababu kuna watu wengine ambao kwa hakika hawawezi wakatoa.
You cannot give what you do not have.
Hawezi wakatoa kile usicho nacho.
And if you don't have money to give, how can you give anything? So if a preacher tells me that you have to give an offering to get your children saved, and I don't have any money to give in that offering, then that would seem to say my children are not going to get saved. But my money does not buy salvation for my children. It was the precious blood of Jesus that bought salvation for my children. And these are the things the Holy Spirit wants to get across to us. But the problem is, if we do not involve ourselves with the Holy Spirit, and we do not spend time praying in tongues, He's not going to be able to teach those things to our spirit. This means we are living in a dependency upon man. But my number one dependency needs to be on the ministry of the Holy Spirit as my teacher. Now go ahead and turn over to Psalm 75. Psalm 75. We're going to talk about this whole process of praying in tongues today. In this morning's session, I shared with you that the key for us is endurance. That we have to endure discouragement, frustration, all those types of feelings. And not let those things keep us from continuing to pray in the Spirit. The more that we pray in tongues is the more that we are growing and maturing spiritually. We are graduating from one level of glory to another level. Now in Psalm 75, look at verse 4. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge, he putteth down one and setteth up another.
Mstari wake wanne anasema hivi, na niwaambia waliojivuna musijivune, na wasio haki musiinue pembe yenu juu, wala msinene kwa shingo ya kiburi, maana siko mashariki wala magharibi wala nyikani itokako heshima. Bali Mungu ndio ahukumuye huyu na kumuinua huyu.
Very briefly, here's what this passage is saying to us.
Kwa ufupi, maandiko haya yanasema haya.
Don't get stubborn and think you know better than God.
Tafadhali usijivune na uwe na kiburi usidanganye kwamba unajua zaidi ya Mungu.
If you do it God's way,
Lakini ukiyatenda mambo yote katika mtindo ama katika njia ya Mungu,
then the day is going to come that God is going to promote you in ministry.
Muda utawadia wakati ambao Mungu atakukweza, atakuinua katika huduma.
You may not even know what your ministry is.
Pengine haujui ya kwamba huduma yako ni nini.
But if you keep doing it God's way, you will eventually know.
Lakini unapozidi kuenenda katika njia za Bwana, bila shaka unaenda kujua huduma yako.
Well, what does it mean to do it God's way?
Je, kuitenda katika njia ya Bwana inamaanisha nini?
Part of that means to pray in the Spirit as God has instructed.
Sehemu ya hiyo inamaanisha kuongea ama kuomba katika roho kama vile Mungu alivyoagiza.
Now let's see something in the New Testament that goes right along with this.
Wacha tuangalie mambo katika Agano Jipya ambalo linaenda sambamba na neno tumelisoma.
Turn to 1 Peter.
Hebu soma Petro wa kwanza.
And in 1 Peter we're going to go to chapter 5.
Petro wa kwanza tunaenda kusoma mlango wa 5.
And in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's take a look at one verse, verse 6.
Petro wa kwanza tunaenda kuangalia mstari mmoja na wacha tuangalie mstari ule wa 6.
Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6.
Humble yourselves. Basi nyenyekeni chini ya mkono wa Mungu ulio hodari ili awakweze kwa wakati wake.
If I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, it means this.
Ninapoenda kunyenyekea chini ya mkono wa hodari wa Mungu inamaanisha hivi.
Father, I do not know better than you.
Baba, sijui zaidi yako.
My way will not work.
Njia yangu haitafaulu.
Therefore, I humble myself under your mighty hand.
Kwa hivyo nanyenyekea chini ya mkono wako wa hodari.
And whatever you say I need to do, that's what I will do.
Na kile unachokisema kwamba ni sharti nitende, nitafanya hivyo hivyo.
And God is saying, when you do that,
na Mungu anasema utakapofanya hivyo,
I will exalt you in due time.
Nitakukweza kwa wakati wangu.
Remember, we learned in Galatians that if we sow to the Spirit, in due season we will reap. Here we see that God is going to exalt us in due time. What is due time? Well, think of a lady who is pregnant. That baby starts off as a very tiny seed inside of her. At first, nobody can tell she is pregnant. But that which is in her begins to grow. And it gets bigger and bigger. And pretty soon people begin to notice. That lady is getting a very big tummy. She has either eaten too much or she is pregnant. Well, 9 months later, what happens? It is due time. And no longer can she contain what is in her. Her body says, get this baby out. And she begins having the labor pains. Her water breaks. And pretty soon, here comes the baby. And people can see that baby for the first time. They had never seen that baby until it was birthed. But now they see the fruit of her labor. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. We begin to meditate and sow the word into our hearts. We begin to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit waters that word with the rivers of living water. That seed takes root in us. And it begins to grow. And our spirit is pregnant with the life of God. We can't see it in the natural. But God can see it in the spiritual. He sees our spiritual tummy getting bigger and bigger. And pretty soon it's going to be due time. And our spirit says, I can't contain this anymore. The fruit of what I've been carrying is going to be birthed. And we begin to birth the anointing of glory and power. We begin to birth the anointing of understanding the Word of God. And our due time has come to give birth to the life of God in this world. But we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And if God says in His Word it's important for us to pray in tongues, then this is doing it God's way. We have been talking so much about praying in the Spirit. Because that helps us to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We give birth to complete obedience to the will of the Father. We give birth to everything God has sown in us. And what I want to do today is show you 8 things in Scripture that will happen when you pray in tongues. Most of these we've covered. So we're not going to dwell on them for a long time. So this is going to be kind of like a review. But it's also going to be an emphasis on what happens to every single one of us the moment we begin praying in tongues. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is where we will start.
Hallelujah.
Praise God for the Holy Spirit. I don't care what other people say. They are too late to convince me that praying in tongues does not work. I know it works. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. As you pray in tongues, you are in divine, private communication with Almighty God. It's like you and he have gone into a room alone together. He has your undivided attention. And the two of you are talking together. That was number one. Number two. Continuing in verse two. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Mana kuna asikiae, lakini anena mambo ya siri katika roho yake.
As I am praying in tongues, I am praying out the mysteries of God. What are those mysteries? The mystery of why isn't God's power flowing through me? The mystery of God, what is my ministry calling? The mystery of God, what do I do next week for you? The mystery of God, I don't understand this passage of Scripture. Anything and everything that is related to who you are in Christ, God's will for your life, the fruit of the Spirit, your ministry calling, your inheritance in Christ, everything about the kingdom, these are the mysteries that we are praying out. Number three, look in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. How am I edifying myself? I am building myself up spiritually. My spirit is maturing and growing stronger. Instead of my flesh dominating my actions, the life and character of God in me begins dominating. This is a part of what happens when we're praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit says, let me help you. In the natural, if I want big muscles, I will go to the gym and lift weights. If I want to develop big spiritual muscles, I go to the gym of the Holy Spirit. He is my training partner. He is my training instructor. And he helps me to begin growing spiritually. This goes right along with praying out the mysteries. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things and guide us into all truth. So as I'm praying in tongues, I am edifying myself in the truth of God. I'm edifying myself in the revelation that He is giving. Number four. First Corinthians 14. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. In verse 14 it says that our spirit is praying. This is how I am praying out those mysteries. But as I'm praying in the Spirit, my spirit is doing that praying. This means that praying in the Spirit enables me to have that communication with God. But look at what else happens. He says, I'll pray with the Spirit and with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also.
Na kwa akili na pia nitaimba kwa roho.
As I begin singing in tongues, I am singing a song of worship directly unto God.
Ninapoanza kuimba katika ndimi, basi ninaimba ile wimbo wa ibada kwa Mungu moja kwa moja.
I am worshiping him out of my spirit in a way that my mind cannot.
Mimi namuabudu katika hali ya kiroho ambayo akili yangu ya kiasili haiwezi ikaelewa.
I am singing and praising Jesus the way the Holy Spirit knows I need to right at that moment.
Mimi ninaimba nikimsifu Bwana nikijua ya kwamba Roho Mtakatifu pia anasimulia kwamba akisema kwamba mimi nakuhitaji wakati ule.
That is number 4.
Hiyo ni nambari ya 4.
Number 5, turn to Romans chapter 8.
Nambari ya 5 tafadhali geuka kitabu cha Warumi mlango wa 8.
Romans chapter 8.
Warumi mlango wa 8, Warumi mlango wa 8.
And beginning in verse 26.
Kuanzia mstari wa 26.
Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen. Mstari wa 26 nasema hivi, kadhalika Roho naye hutusaidia udhaifu wetu, kwa maana hatujui kuomba jinsi itupasavyo. Lakini Roho mwenyewe hutuombea kwa kuugua kusikoweza kutamkwa. Na yeye atukuzaye mioyo aijua nia ya Roho. Ilivyo kwa kuwa waombea watakatifu kama apendavyo Mungu. Nasi tunajua ya kuwa katika mambo yote Mungu hufanya kazi pamoja na wale wapendao katika kuwapatia mema, yani wale walioitwa kwa kusudi lake.
So many times in our lives we do not know what the will of God is.
Mara nyingi maishani mwetu hatujui mapenzi ya Mungu ni yapi.
I do not know what the perfect will of God is for next week.
Mimi sijui ya kwamba mapenzi kamilifu ya Mungu kwa wiki ijayo itakuwa ni nini.
And there are times when I go to God and I'm just not sure how to pray about situations.
Na kuna wakati ambapo namuelekea Bwana bali sijui jinsi ya kuomba kwa sababu ya hali ambayo imefikia.
And there are times when I go to God and I say, God, these things are happening around me.
Na kuna wakati ambapo namuelekea Bwana namwambia Bwana mambo haya yote yanatendekea.
And I simply do not know what to do or how to pray.
Na mimi sijui jambo la kufanya wala jinsi ya kuomba.
That's when the Holy Spirit steps up and he says, I know how to pray.
Hapo ndipo Roho Mtakatifu anaingia katika udhaifu wangu na anasema mimi najua jinsi ya kuomba.
I know exactly what needs to be prayed in this situation.
Mimi Roho Mtakatifu anasema mimi najua kitu gani unastahili uombe kwa ajili ya hali hii.
And if you will allow me to begin praying through you in tongues.
Na kama utaniruhusu mimi Roho Mtakatifu niombe kupitia wewe.
You are going to be praying out the perfect will of Almighty God.
Wewe utaanza kunena ama kuomba ile maombi kamilifu ya mapenzi ya Mungu.
You see, if I don't know the perfect will, I can't pray the perfect will.
Unajua kama sijui mapenzi kamilifu siwezi nikaomba ombi kamilifu.
But the Holy Spirit knows, and that's how he prays.
Na Roho Mtakatifu anajua na hivyo hivyo anaomba.
In verse 28, so many people have misthought it.
Kwa mstari wa 28 watu wengi wamekosa kufundisha kama inavyopaswa.
They say car wrecks and sickness and houses burning down, all of these bad things are what works together.
Wanasema kwamba maradhi, magonjwa, ajali pamoja na mambo mabaya ambayo yanafanya ni hayo ndio yanafanyika pamoja kwa wema.
But that is not what this is talking about.
Lakini hilo sio kile ambacho hili andiko linanena.
This is talking about all of those things that I have been praying out as I'm praying in tongues.
Andiko linaongea juu ya mambo yale yote ambayo nilikuwa nikiombea kupitia kwa kuomba ndani ya roho.
When I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God.
Wakati sijui jinsi ya kuomba, Roho Mtakatifu anaomba kulingana na kusudi la Mungu.
And all of these things that line up with the perfect will of God.
Na hivi mambo yote yanakuwa sambamba katika mapenzi kamilifu ya Mungu.
Begin to work together in my life.
Yale mambo yanaanza kufanya kazi pamoja.
For my good.
Kwa ajili ya wema wangu.
To bring about the fullness of God's will manifested.
Ili ilete utimilifu wa Mungu na ikapate kudhihirishwa wazi wazi.
Which means more to God?
Ambapo inaamini
What do we truly learn from him in disaster? Disaster and bad things often drive people away from God. Because they blame him for not doing something. So if I'm not going to learn from the bad things, then why in the world would God bring them into my life? But when I pray in the Spirit, it is God's will He wants to bring about in my life. And these are all those things that are working together as a result of my prayer. And they begin to produce every good and perfect gift that comes to my Father above. So number five is praying out the will of God. Turn to Jude chapter 1. And there's only one chapter, so it won't take you long to find it. Jude chapter 1. Look in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then as I pray in tongues, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. This enables me to walk by faith and not by sight. We see nothing else in Scripture that says we build us up on our most holy faith other than by praying in tongues. So number six is building myself up on my most holy faith. Number seven. In verse 20, we are told praying in tongues builds us up on our most holy faith. And verse 21 says, this is how we keep ourselves in the love of God. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God is love. This is why He loves us. As I pray in tongues, I am keeping myself in that love, and I'm opening the door of my heart for the Holy Spirit to begin releasing more of that love into me. And this enables me to love as I am loved. Praying in tongues enables me to develop a love walk. Now number eight. Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
ungamene dhambi zenu ninyi kwa ninyi na kuombeana mpate kuponywa. Kuomba kwake kwa haki, kuomba kwake mwenye haki kwafaa sana akiomba kwa bidii.
Now the last part of that verse says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Na sehemu ya mwisho nasema ya kwamba kuomba kwake kwa bidii mwenye haki kwafaa sana.
And I can remember years ago, here's how the way people taught this.
Na mimi naweza kumbuka miaka kadhaa iliyopita basi watu walikuwa wanafundisha hivi.
That you've got to pray with great intensity.
Ya kwamba lazima uombe ombi kwa fujo.
And I would hear people pray like that.
Na mimi ningependa kusikia watu wakiomba kwa fujo.
And they would begin raising their voices.
Na wangependa kuinua sauti yao.
Oh God, we come before your throne.
Sema Bwana tumekuja mbele kwa uponi wako.
We seek your face tonight.
Tunatafuta uso wako leo.
We need your help, oh God. And they would begin screaming and yelling those prayers. And pretty soon they have frayed their vocal cords. So you can only pray so long like that. Pretty soon you end up with a sore throat. I don't think prayer is supposed to cause us pain. Here's what this phrase is really saying. The words effectual fervent mean this. It's a Greek word, energeo. And it means a prayer that is energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit as the individual is praying.
Inaitwa energeko kwa lugha ya Kiunani, na hiyo inamaanisha kwamba ni ile ombi ambao inatiwa nguvu kulingana na vile Roho Mtakatifu atakuwezesha unapoomba.
It's talking about praying in tongues.
Kwa hivyo inaongea juu ya kuomba katika ndimi.
And it says that this kind of prayer availeth much.
Na anasema ya kwamba maombi kama haya kunafaa sana.
That phrase availeth much means this.
Na ile sehemu ambayo inasema kunafaa sana inamaanisha haya.
Accomplishes and brings about and brings to pass what is prayed.
Inatimilisha, inaleta, na inatoa jawabu ya kile ambacho unaomba kwalo.
In other words, when I pray in tongues,
kwa lugha nyingine unapoomba kwa ndimi,
I get results.
Ninapoomba kwa ndimi ninapata jawabu.
How many times have we prayed with the understanding?
Wangapi tumeomba tukiwa na akili?
And we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed.
Tumeomba na kuomba na kuomba na kuomba.
And we don't seem to see anything happen.
Na tuone jambo lolote linatendeka.
And we think God's just not listening to me.
Na Mungu ananisikiliza.
The problem is many times when we pray with the understanding,
shida ni kwamba wakati ambapo tunaomba kwa akili zetu,
we're praying according to what we think should be done. God is not going to do everything we think He should do. But He's going to do what He knows needs to be done. And like it says in James, sometimes what we're asking God is for something to consume it upon our own lust. And God is not going to answer those kinds of prayers. But when I present to Him the effectual fervent prayer of this righteous man, and I begin praying in tongues, immediately God sets in action. And He begins working on my behalf to work all of these things together for my good, to bring about the manifestation of His glory and His promises in my life. Now, if it's not, if these eight reasons aren't good enough to pray in tongues, I don't think you will ever pray in tongues. What else could we ask for? When we pray in tongues, God moves on our behalf. We cannot pray amiss. And praise God, we're going to get results. Hallelujah. Would you please stand? Bless your name, Jesus. Glory and honor to you, Lord. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of praying tongues. Father, I lift all the folks up today. All the people who will listen to this sermon later. I present us before you. And I'm asking you to move on us. That we never forget the benefits of praying in tongues. Work in us, Father. You encourage us daily to spend time praying in tongues as we're going about our daily chores. Father, we can just whisper that prayer in tongues. When we're out working in our yard, when we're walking, when we're driving, when we're taking our showers, we can pray in tongues. And your will is going to be done. Thank you, Father, for this perfect form of prayer that can never fail. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.